الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, the quality of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, which was an absolutely defining quality of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, both in terms of him personally as well as in terms of the prophethood, was the quality of truthfulness, of sidq. This is one of the titles of Rasulullah ﷺ even pre-declaration of prophethood, where he was called As-Sadiq wal-Amin. So this sidq or truthfulness is a defining quality of Rasulullah ﷺ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to inculcate this in ourselves. The truth, the haqq, is really what Islam is about. La ilaha illallah is a statement of truth. It's a statement of fact. It is not a theory. It is not a point of view. It is not a ideology. It is a fact. It is the truth that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah is the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. And so therefore, the truth is the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about himself, Al-haqqu min rabbikum. Allah said, your Rabb is the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Day of Judgment, that Al-yawm, yawmul haqq. Allah said, this is the day of truth, where truth will triumph and all falsehood will perish. The Prophet ﷺ was the symbol of truth. And as I said, this is what the people of Makkah, this was the title they gave him even before his prophethood. And the unique thing is that even after he declared prophethood, and when these people became his enemies, they made many allegations and they made many accusations. They called him Majnoon, they said he is misguided, they said he is mad, Nauzubillah. They said many things. But even at that time, his enemies did not say that he was a liar. They never said he is Kazib. They never said he is a liar. They said he is misguided. They said, well, we don't agree with what he is saying, and he is, you know, possessed by a jinn, or something is wrong with him, or whatever. I mean, they said many things. May Allah protect us from that. But even at that time, they did not say that he is a liar. So his title of As-Sadiq wal-Amin remained even when the people who gave him that title became his worst enemies. They could not say that he was a liar. The famous story of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, before he became Muslim, when he was taken to the court of the Caesar of the Romans, Heraclius. And when Heraclius questioned him, it's one of the important incidents and stories of the Seerah, where Heraclius asked Abu Sufyan a series of questions. And he called him and he said, you come forward. And he told his people, stand behind him. And if he is lying, then signal to me. So the people of Abu Sufyan are standing behind him. He cannot see them. And he asked him a whole series of questions. And in all of those questions, again, the same thing. Abu Sufyan said, I was looking to see if I could say something derogatory about Rasulullah. And he said, the only thing I managed to say was that, he asked him, he said, is there a treaty? Abu Sufyan said, yes. He said, has he broken the treaty? So Abu Sufyan said, not yet. And he said, that is the only thing I could think of which may be negative. I was looking for something negative to say, but I could not find anything negative. So he said, well, he's not broken the treaty yet, meaning that maybe he will break it. So he said that that was the only thing I could manage to say that. Everything else I was forced to say what was positive, even though I did not want to say it. So this was the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, As-Sadiq wal-Amin. This continues when we look at the seerah after the revelation started. There are several times in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentioned to Allah, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, certain things with respect to correcting whatever he had done. I do not use the term reprimand, which sometimes some of the Mufassirin have used. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensure that we always maintain the adab of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we don't say reprimand, we say that these are some things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to teach a lesson to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed certain ayat with respect to his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know the ayat of Surah Al-Abasa, the opening ayat of Surah Al-Abasa, where Ibn Maktoum, who was a blind sahabi, came to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came to ask him a question. At that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with some of the shurafa, some of the nobility of the Quraysh, and Ibn Maktoum does not know why, who he was sitting with and so on. He was a blind man, but Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned around and looked at Ibn Maktoum, and on his face he frowned, right? So he looked at him with a frown. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you turned around and frowned at the blind man. Now think about this. And similarly, there are some other ayat in the Quran in relation to some other things. Now think about this. Here was an ayah which is, if you look at it, it's not an ayah concerning aqidah, it's not an ayah concerning ibadat, it's not an ayah concerning some major hukum of the sharia, right? The fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam frowned was not known to Ibn Maktoum because he was blind. He did not know whether he frowned or he smiled or what he did. So it is not even as if if I frown at you, you are seeing me frowning, so my frown may have hurt you or something. In this case, that was not there. Ibn Maktoum was not affected by this frown, one way or the other. He couldn't see, so he didn't know. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam communicated these ayat as they were revealed. And so also with respect to other ayat. Now, think about this, that you are the head of the community, you are the leader of the community, you are the Rasul of Allah, you are the recipient of Wahi, you are the chosen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. How does it look if the one who chose you is actually commenting about something that you have done in order to correct you? How does it look in terms of PR, in terms of the whatever value you want to call it, when you say this to your followers? So you are trying to say to your followers that, you might have thought I am perfect, but well, here is this ayat to say that I have to correct myself in this particular way. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is one of the many proofs of his risala, proofs of his prophethood, one of the many proofs of his truthfulness. Not that we need that proof, but it is there to show that he was as-sadiq, that he was absolutely truthful. Whatever came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam revealed it as it came. Without any, tarmim, without any change, without any alteration, without any interpretation, right? Exactly as it came. So, the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is something which is not only beyond question to us, because we believe in him, because we accept what he said, because he is our Nabi, but it is something which even his enemies accepted. Now, the position of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain with regard to this was also exactly the same, which is that they believed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completely and totally without any hesitation whatsoever, because this was the experience of his truthfulness. The finest example of that is the example of the reaction of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu when the issue of Isra wal Mi'raj was mentioned to him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went in Isra wal Mi'raj from Makkah to Jerusalem and from Jerusalem into the heavens and back, and we know the whole story. When this was communicated, when he came back and he narrated this story, there was a huge turmoil or in Makkah. People started making fun of him, they started mocking him and so on and so forth. Abu Jahl came and said to him, is this what you say? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes. He said, will you say the same thing if I bring some other people here? Or will you change what you have said? He said, no, I will say the same thing. So he brought some other people and they all had a big laugh and they said, oh, how can this be? And so on. Even though Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave many evidences of this, they didn't believe him. Now Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was not there. So this was communicated to him. Somebody went and said, do you know what your friend is saying? He said, what is he saying? He said, he's saying that he went from Makkah to Jerusalem and then from Jerusalem into the heavens and back. And all of this he did in one night. And this is what he's saying. So their point was, here we have caught him out in a lie. That was the whole idea of this campaign, to try to malign him and to try to besmirch his reputation. What was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu's response? He said, if he said it, I believe. If he said it, I believe. Meaning that he is not disputing the truth of the matter. He is just saying that verify whether he actually said this or not. If he said it, I believe. Whether I understand how it happened or it didn't happen. This is one of the usul of the authentication of hadith anyway. That's where it comes from. To say that if the Prophet ﷺ said something, that's how hadiths are authenticated. The muhaddithin have tried to see whether Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually said something. They don't go into, well, what he said, does it sound reasonable, does it sound scientific, is it possible, not possible, because there are many things which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said which are from the ilm of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Obviously, we are nowhere, even talking about comparing is nonsense, because, you know, how do you compare the ilm of Allah with whatever we know? Now, they asked him, he said, how do you believe? Why do you believe? He said, because we already believe things which are more than this. They said, what is that? He said, we believe that there is Allah. We believe that there is Jannah, there is Jahannam. We believe that there is a day of judgment. He said, we have not seen any of that. Why do we believe that? Because Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said so. What is the basis? How do you know there is Allah? Sure, there are signs of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and so on and so forth. But if someone wants to argue, they can argue against all of that. As far as the Muslims are concerned, as far as I am concerned, I believe there is Allah because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said so. Finish, khalas. Not interested in anything else. As far as I am concerned, that is proof enough, that is evidence enough. I do not need anything more. My Nabi said there is Allah, so there is Allah. Khalas. My Nabi said there is Jannah, so there is Jannah. We ask Allah for Jannah. My Nabi said there is Dhanar, so there is Dhanar. We ask Allah to save us from Dhanar. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi said there is the day of judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. So this truthfulness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is such. Similarly, the opening ayat of Surah Tahrim, which relate to the incident where two of his wives, Sayyida Aisha and Sayyida Hafsa radiallahu anhuma, they made this pact and they said that, you know, they would say that they don't like this smell of honey mixed with water. Which he took in the house of another one of his wives, and so on. Now, again, once again, it's not an issue of haram halal, it's not an issue of aqidah, it's not an issue of ibadah, nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated. And similarly, as I said, there's a couple of other ayat like this. But my point is that the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reflected in every single one of his behavior. There's many such incidents. Never lied, was never away from the truth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always keep us on the truth and to help us to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to enable us to do that which is pleasing to him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatika.